This is Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. A bit later in the program, it's our annual Spring Bug Show. But first, if you remember last week, we talked about a huge dead zone off the coast of Louisiana in the Gulf of Mexico, where pollution has killed off the marine life. Well, this week comes more news about the Gulf. Researchers writing in the journal Science have published the surprising findings of their exploration of the seafloor in the southern Gulf of Mexico. Deep below the oil rigs that dot the surface, they found asphalt. Yep, that same hard black tar that paves our road. Asphalt seems to have exploded out of oil reserves beneath the Earth's crust, leaving solid black asphalt caps among the salty hills of the Gulf floor. This natural paving has never been studied, and what the researchers found there is even more surprising. Despite the cold and the dark, these deep-sea asphalt flows are home to a whole undersea community, weird, unusual-looking creatures that not only survive, they thrive on the asphalt. The explorers aptly named the site Chapopote after the Aztec War for tar. What are these creatures? How can they survive? What can we learn from exploring the depths of our oceans? That's first up this hour. Our number 1-800-989-8255. Ian McDonald is a professor of environmental science at Texas A&M University, Corpus Christi. He joins us from a studio in Boulder, Colorado. Welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon.
How did you find? Did you go looking for asphalt? No one ever would think there's asphalt at the bottom.
We were certainly surprised.
2 miles down, 3 kilometers down there?
Well, yes, we were very surprised, but we did go looking. We went looking for chemosynthetic life, and we went looking for natural oil seeps and gas hydrates in the southern Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm. And you found?
Well, we found the first thing that we found. Yeah, we found asphalt. In the opposite of a dead zone, we found a live zone where, unlike most of the deep sea, which is not depauperate, not devoid of life, but most of the animals that live in the deep sea are tiny, almost microscopic creatures that are burrowed down into the sediments. And only occasionally do you see a fish or a crustacean on the bottom. But this particular area is one of many, what we're finding to be many different sites in the deep ocean that harbor what's called a chemosynthetic community. Chemosynthesis is one of the two great bases of life on Earth. We all depend on photosynthesis here up in the light. But in the deep ocean, bacteria are able to use chemical energy to make carbohydrates out of carbon and water. And this was first discovered at the hydrothermal vents in the Pacific. And this is a new example.
So this is the same kind of life growing on the asphalt that they find in those deep sea vents in the Pacific?
It's similar.
Yeah.
Yes, it's similar, functionally similar. And many of the animals are familiar, although it will probably turn out that the species are new to science. We have tube worms, which are long, slender animals living in a tough, leathery tube with a small, bright red plume on the end. We have mussels, like the mussels you find in an intertidal zone, except these mussels are supported by chemicals, and a variety of clams. And these are all the chemosynthetic fauna. These animals have chemosynthetic bacteria living inside their bodies, and the animal provides the bacterial symbiont with the chemicals needed to survive.
Mm-hmm. So where does the asphalt come from? Is it natural, the oil in the, underneath the crust that's bubbling up, or is it coming from leaks in the drilling rigs that are in the Gulf?
Well, in your opening piece, you said that beneath the oil rigs which dot the surface, actually in the southern Gulf, most of the exploration is up on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And right now, although the Mexican government produces a lot of oil from the offshore waters, most of it is in shallow water. So this is a new area.
Deeper.
A lot deeper, much, much deeper, 3,000 meters, 10,000 feet. And there are, we know that there are many oil reservoirs here, and also a phenomenon called salt tectonism. And these are, what happens here is that there is a layer of salt underneath much of the Gulf of Mexico, deposited over 150 million years ago. And that salt has begun over geologic age to squeeze up in little ridges and mounds and hills called salt domes or salt diapirs. And this is familiar from the northern Gulf, from the southern Gulf. And these salt diapirs are often associated with economic reserves of hydrocarbons.
So the salt is seeping out, seeping up from underneath. I mean, the salt, the oil is seeping up and from by itself.
Well, that's usually what happens, and that's the familiar setting. And we found oil seeps and gas seeps in the Northern Gulf, and I've had been fortunate enough to explore many of them.
Right.
But the usual situation is that you get oil diffusing through the bottom sediments and spreading out over a fairly large area. What struck us when we arrived at this site, the first thing we did when we got to the area was to make a very detailed bathymetric map of the topography of the bottom, 10,000 feet down. And right away when we did this, the geologist on board the ship said, wow, because we had mapped a whole series of salt domes, and about 9 of them were completely transfigured, split in half, literally, by huge faults. Many of them had crater-like depressions on their crests, and there were debris flows and evidence of very large landslides that had slid down the slopes of these knolls and out onto the adjacent seafloor.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea how old these things are?
Well, it's difficult to date them at present because you can't use standard carbon dating on tar because or oil because the tar it's, the oil is carbon dead, but we can see that there have been successive eruptions of this tar-like material. The freshest asphalt that we found is formed into sort of swirly loops and whirls. It resembles a basaltic lava flow formation called Pahoahoa lava. And we also found blocky, fractured deposits. And then we found deposits further downslope that appeared to have been there for some time that were partially covered with sediments and more broken up and eroded.
Hmm. So then you would expect that the Gulf of Mexico would not be so unique, so to speak, that this would not be happening in other parts of the world.
Well, it could be. We think that one of the things that we did after we found this discovery and wanted to verify whether or not anybody else had seen it,
yeah,
was to go back and search through all the literature to see if anything like this had been reported. And nothing turned up. I found a lot of articles by paving highway engineers about how hot asphalt has to be in order to flow, and it needs to be pretty warm. It needs to be about 200 degrees Celsius in order to pour. But I found no information or no previous reports of asphalt in the deep sea and very little on land. But we turned up one old article published in 1979, which included a photograph taken in 1971 of a tar deposit or an asphalt deposit very similar to the one that we saw, but at a site about 200 kilometers north, right in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. So these asphalt volcanoes may be stepping stones that allow chemosynthetic animals to bridge the gap across hundreds or in some cases thousands of miles of inhospitable seafloor.
Then do you picture it as coming out as asphalt? I mean, is it flowing out as asphalt or is it flowing out as oil and then the bacteria turns it into asphalt later?
No, I picture it as flowing out as asphalt, as a heavy hydrocarbon, mm-hmm, and then solidifying fairly rapidly to form the cracks and fissures that we saw in it. I don't think that it comes out as a broad spectrum petroleum product,
right,
and that we lose the light end over time. I think it comes out as a heavy product.
How does that happen? How do you get that? How does it get transformed into asphalt? You said you need that heat. Is it because it's in a volcanic situation, the heat below?
Well, that's a major puzzle because, as I say, in order to get this, and these flows, many of them went down the slope from the crest for hundreds of meters. In order to get asphalt to pour like that, if indeed it comes out as asphalt, you need to heat it up quite hot, at least 200 degrees. The water temperature at the bottom there is about 4 degrees Celsius, so it's very cold. And it's very difficult to imagine moving asphalt from deep sub-bottom reservoirs rapidly enough to retain that heat. So we don't understand this process, but it is very clear that the process was very vigorous, and we can see this from the heavy faulting and transfiguration of the salt domes. So whatever process discharged this, it was accompanied by a major tectonism.
That's fascinating. You don't find any little steamrollers, fish-shaped steamrollers.
No steamrollers, but it is also clear that this is an oasis of life in the deep sea. And what was fascinating was the way in which every little deposit we would find as we explored around with our camera sled would have clusters of animals sort of poking out from the bottom or actually extending down into faults and fissures in the actual asphalt deposits. In several cases, they were had been covered by subsequent deposits. So you had animal communities that established themselves and then were overwhelmed by later flows.
Let me see if I get a call or two in here. Hank in Berkeley. Hi, Hank.
Hi there. Great program.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Quick question. I'm curious if you're looking. I understand it's impossible to culture, 90%+ of bacteria, according to E.O. Wilson, but we can do sort of a shotgun PCR on stuff to see if there's anything living in it. I know a lot of bacteria come up in oil wells because you get biofilms as a major industrial problem on the inside of all the processing equipment and pipes, and they're finding bacteria at great depths. How much is alive in the stuff as it comes up? Has anyone started to compare what's...
Yeah, have you dug up the asphalt and brought the stuff with you?
We managed to collect several samples of the asphalt. I would say that it's pretty inert, but it does have films of bacteria growing on it, so you're correct there. My guess is that those films are colonized subsequent to the discharge. There are reports of bacterial infestations or in hydrocarbon reservoirs, and I think there have been some attempts to culture that. But most of the microbial activity occurs after this stuff comes out at the seafloor, and the microbes have access to oxygen or sulfate or other compounds.
And have you brought any of the marine life back up yet?
Yes, we were able to. Well, this was a very bootlegged jerry-rigged expedition on the German ship Sona. It was a cooperation between Germany and Mexico and the U.S. And we didn't have a submarine, and we didn't have a remotely operated vehicle. We had a camera sled, which is a kind of a steel box, which is dangled on a cable 10,000 feet beneath the ship. And so we didn't have the opportunity to sample the site as precisely as we would like. They did have a sort of a steam shovel-like contraption, which brought back huge chunks of the bottom, about a cubic meter of the bottom. And in that, we were able to recover quite a number of different species and large samples.
You've got to send Bob Ballard down there now. Somebody with one of these deep diving to take, to investigate it. Now, wouldn't that be the natural thing? You want to look at it some more to see what's going
on? Absolutely, we want to look at it some more. We need to go back with submersibles that give us more control. We'd like to find some fresh material coming out so we can answer this heat question. We want to get many more samples of the animals to compare them genetically to the examples that we know of from the Northern Gulf, from the Pacific, from West Africa, because we're beginning to learn of many, many different community types scattered around the world in what we had thought of as being an unoccupied, uncolonized setting. Instead, we find that there are many, surprising examples of seafloor activity that can produce chemosynthetic communities.
Well, good luck to you, and we'll have you back when you bring back some more stuff and issue another report.
Thank you, Ira.
Thanks for taking time to talk with us. Ian McDonald is a professor of environmental science at Texas A&M University, Corpus Christi, talking about the asphalt deposits at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico, 3,000 kilometers down. So stay with us. We're going to take a short break, come back, switch gears, talk about it's our annual bug report, spring bug break, we'll call it. So stay with us. We'll be right back.